When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, and welcome to a new episode of Talking Snooker with Phil Haig and Nick Metcalf. Once again, talking about the game we all love.
Yep, we're here again. Glad to have you with us. And it's been an especially quiet week, really, on the table. But we're finally getting there. I feel like the start of the season is just about starting. We're coming up to that bit now where it's pretty much jam-packed all the way till Christmas, or near enough. There's only the odd day off once we start on Monday. So the season really is about to start, and we're very excited for it.
We are. It's been quite bitty, let's be clear. We had a very long, obviously, Championship League. That was, you know, nice to keep us company. But yeah. But then, you know, as I said many times, summer is the least of the snooker months of the four seasons. So we kind of expect that. But yeah, you're right, Phil. It really feels like we're getting into it now. And we had the first bona fide regular knockout tournament of the season coming up, haven't we? The European Masters in Germany. And we'll look ahead to that in this episode. Before that, of course, we have British Open qualifiers. And, I hesitate to say it a bit, Phil, but I have noticed the evening's starting to draw in a little bit. Now, it's quite a poignant feeling in a way, because that does mean the end of summer. But, of course, in this part of the world, here in the UK, Europe, the Northern Hemisphere, that does mean a lot more snooker. So we're heading towards that time now. And, well, qualifiers first, and I think you're going to have a look at them predominantly for us. You know, a whole host of matches. We'll have eyes all over the place.
Yeah, definitely. So it's Monday to Saturday, isn't it, in Leicester, which seems to be the new, predominantly the new home of qualifiers at the Morningside. They're all on Discovery Plus. That's where you can watch them. And there's some standout things in there. I mean, straight off a Monday, still creating interest, Stephen Hendry against Mohamed Asif. And that, I mean, I wouldn't put my house on him actually playing that match, to be honest, because he's been in China until very, very recently. He's still in the draw, so I assume he will play. But he's not going to have prepared brilliantly on his way back from China, I think. Played Mohamed Asif, who hasn't had many wins on tour after coming through Asian Q School last year. But that'll be an interesting test for Hendry. And yeah, the Monday is a good one, actually. There's a couple more veterans here. Alfie Burden against Ken Doherty. And I've looked this up, Nick. When do you think they first played, Alfie and Ken?
Do you know what? I think it was probably about 1999.
Have you looked that up?
Yeah, I did. I wouldn't have been able to sleep tonight. I got a really bad guest last time, and the warped, you know, the bit naughty part of me thought I should just do it and just pretend I didn't know. But no, I did know. I looked it up. Yeah, 99.
British Open in 99. There it is.
Yeah, like, I even looked up. I thought sometimes I like to sort of, that neither of those two won it. So someone looks to, like to look at the latter stages so you can put it in context. It was actually a Hendry Ebden final. So I mean, obviously, yeah, Hendry's still a pro, and you know, Ebden wasn't until not that long ago. But yeah, it was Hendry won the tournament. But yeah, I saw that, and yeah, they might know each other's game by now.
You'd hope so, wouldn't you? Yeah, they've been around a while, those two. It's an interesting one. I mean, Ken's got a win. He'll be at the European Masters. Alfie sort of got a new lease life a bit after the run at the seniors. Seems to be playing a bit better. So, yeah, it'd be interesting. And sort of the other end of the scale, Louis Heathcote against Ben Mertens, I thought was a nice one that Monday. A couple of young guns there. They played the World Championship last year. And Heathcote won 6-5. So that'll be interesting. What we've got Tuesday. Do enjoy a Northern Snooker Centre derby, and it's the second one. It's the second one between these two this year already. Liam Pullen, new on tour against Ollie Lines. They played the Champs League and drew. So I actually spoke to Liam after that, and he said he hated, not hated, but he'd rather not play his pals from the Northern. But I like it, gives a bit of a different edge to it, doesn't it? I'm rattling through a few of these. There's obviously a lot more than this, but these are the ones that caught my eye. Wednesday, the new pro from China, Liu Hongyu, has really impressed us so far. Did well at the Championship League and won his European Masters qualifier. He's playing Bipat, the Women's World Champion, so that'll be interesting. This is a good excuse to say thanks for Chris for coming on last week, because we thought he was excellent, didn't we, Chris Wakelin? Thought he was a brilliant guest.
Yeah, he was absolutely superb, wasn't he? Yeah, Chris has got Andrew Padgett, isn't he, in his qualifiers. Mm. And I mean, cracking guest. He really was. He was terrific, good value. Listen again, I mean, just he was so funny, wasn't he, as well? Some of the stories, and, you know, it comes to what we said before, you kind of wish play as well. He's one of those that you just can't help but wish him well. Such a nice chap. And yeah, I mean, you do sort of think best years must be to come now. Because there are times you see him, you thought, God, he's got the beating of anybody, you know, and with that confidence. And about to say, oh, should it be? Of course it should be that big if you win a tournament. Of course it should give you all the confidence, but it really does. Even if it's the shootout, the fact that you've been on that pedestal, you've gone all the way. And I like the way he called them seven deciders, by the way.
Yeah, that was good, yeah.
Probably obvious, but the way you sort of said it, yeah, you know, you had to hit the ground running in every single, you know, match in that tournament, and to perform like he did towards the end. And again, I know we said it at the time, wasn't it interesting about him seeing the other players for the draw for the semi-finals?
Yes, yeah.
And how nervous they were. Do you know what it reminded me of? A lot of conversations I've had with snooker players, actually. It might be a bit of a weird thing to remind me of, but the interview I do with the champion for the World Championship programme, the year after Mark Selby beat John Higgins in the final, Mark said to me that he came down on the Monday morning, late morning, I think, went in the practice room, saw John Higgins, and he said John's body language was just, I'm losing this, because it was 10-4, went to 10-7. And I just thought it was fascinating. I mean, you have to go back into detail looking in all the stuff I wrote, but Mark was just like bouncing around. And he got extra energy from seeing John seeing that. And isn't the nuance of that behind-the-scenes stuff? And, you know, as Chris was telling us, you know, these guys don't really want it enough, and I want it, you know, and he really grabbed it by the horns. And listen, it's quite right, as you said, it's quite right. They were nervous. You know, God knows what the last time Dominic was in a stage like that, and the other guys as well, such big matches for them. But yeah, this, I love the psychology. I mean, I love the psychology of most sports, but in this sport, it's so singular, and so much is in the sort of body language and the way players are looking. And, you know, it's again tied in with what Fergal said to us when he joined us on here about seeing players in, was it qualifying or Q school? One or two.
Q
school. And so, well, you probably won't get through, and you probably won't get through. And I don't think you'll get through. And it's funny, isn't it? Because you can just see it. Well, we can't, but those guys at the top level in snooker, they can see those little, almost imperceptible things that can make a difference.
Yeah. And the margins are so fine at the highest level. And I don't just mean like the very, very elite of the pros, like all pros, like, they can almost all do near enough the same as each other, most of them anyway. And it's just tiny little fractions of confidence and how good you're feeling. And yeah, that was a great example from Chris there that he just thought, because it was weird because he'd said before that previous tournaments, he'd got to the semi or whatever, and as soon as he thought about winning, that's when it went downhill. Whereas at that point, it was like, oh, I'm definitely going to win now, and he did. So there's no right or wrong way to go about things, but That was very interesting. Yeah, that stuck out in my mind as well. So, yeah, he's looking to carry on his great start to the season against Andrew Padgett on Wednesday. We always give the Sheriff a shout out on here, don't we? He's got an interesting one against Aaron Hill. I love the sort of old the veteran against the youngster there. Hamilton's such a great test for, well, most players, really, but especially the youngsters, because he's like the grizzled vet, isn't he? But also, he can score so heavily as well. They played once before and Hamilton's won it, so he'll be looking to get his first win against the old stager there, and call him that. That's not rude.
Well, I'll tell you what is rude for me. Bit of rudeness coming up, I think. Hopefully out of character to some extent anyway. I was thinking, you know that old thing you say, well, you probably won't get as much as I do, but you think, oh God, I'm old enough to be his or her father. He's old enough to be his bloody grandfather, let alone father. What a difference.
Yeah, it must be 30 years between them, isn't it? Anthony is 52, isn't he? Is Aaron 20 now? 21, something like that?
Yeah, I'm being a bit over the top, but
yeah, but not yeah, not far off though. Yeah, but it could just about be. But yeah, no, and you could learn a lot. I'm sure you could learn a lot, but that'd be an interesting one. Thursday, we've got Hussein Vafai against Andy Lee, Dave Gilbert against Ryan Thomason. So some big names there. Friday, there was a nice piece, this made me think of this, there was a nice piece on World Snooker with Sanderson Lam, who's had a good start to the season. Real nice guy, Sanderson. He's had some good wins so far, and he feels like he's found something. He said it's the first time in his career he feels like he's ready to go up the next level. And it'll be a test for him on Friday against Joe Perry. So that'll be an interesting one to watch. And then Saturday, Matt Selt against Liam Highfield caught my eye for a first rounder. It's a high-quality game, that, isn't it? I mean, neither will be pleased with that. And then Jimmy White against Stephen Maguire. I don't know if you've looked this one up, but I looked at their first game. Tell me if you've cheated already on this.
I haven't cheated on this. I haven't cheated on this. That I remember anyway. I haven't got it down there, put it that way. Yeah. So I don't think I did. And Maguire and White. I'm gonna go as close as I can to try and not get it wrong after I was so far out last year, and go for around the time he won the UK. So I'm gonna go Maguire. I mean, I'm gonna go for 05.
You're a little way out. It's 2000. I think Maguire must have turned pro in 99. I think.
Yeah.
So early on, and they played quite a lot. And then Jimmy, of course, knocked Stephen out of the UK last year on his run through the qualifiers. So, yeah, that's a tasty little first rounder there as well. That's on Saturday evening, I think. So they're the ones that stood out to me. There's obviously a lot of other ones in there. I don't know if you've got any more written down that caught your eye.
I don't think so. I'm reeling from being 5 years out there, but while I get my composure together... did you say Tep Trio? I should have been listening, shouldn't I? I was mostly. Did you say Tep Trio or New against Rianne?
I didn't. No, there's another one. Yeah,
I like that because I mean I think Tep Trio is always an interesting one anyway. You know, because I think he say blows hot and cold is the understatement of the century. Could be mercurial and brilliant. Could just be erratic and you know off the pace. You never quite know with him. Ricky Walden, Zusa took my eye. Yeah. Zusa won their first meeting. I looked up at the Indian Open in 2017, but Walden's won their three since. But that could well be worth a watch. And I think that's pretty much, yeah, the few I scribbled down. I think you covered the rest. Yeah, I was interested. I think Selt Highfield's a really nice one. I only met once before, nearly a decade ago, the 2014 World Open. It's sort of funny, isn't it? Some players just don't come across each other. It's sort of odd that. But, yeah, no, they're the main ones. And, yeah, Hendry playing snooker. This is just incredible. I mean, I believe it. We'll be rubbing our eyes, Phil. I believe it when I see it.
Yeah, as I say, I think I saw him on his Instagram only a day or two ago, travelling back from China. He seemed to have a lovely time there. And he was playing some snooker over there as well, to be fair. So hopefully he'll be ready to go. And, you know, Mohamed Asif, actually, I've seen him a couple of times. He just look all right, but he hasn't had loads of wins at all. So, you know, that's the kind of game that if Stephen's got any sort of ambitions of doing much at all while he's playing on the tour, that he should be looking to do well in. So we'll see how he goes. Hopefully he'll be playing. And that, yeah, that's the Monday afternoon. So yeah, there's plenty to keep us interested there. At least there's something to watch. It's all on Discovery Plus, so we'll be tuning in, won't we?
We will. And I mean, the last set of qualifiers we just had were excellent. So they have to go some to beat those, actually, this lot. But yeah, there's loads of matches. So I kind of like that. I often say that about home nations. There's very little time to, you know, we don't really get bored anyway watching snooker. But you know what I mean? There's no sort of downtime. It's match after match, day after day. So many stories. I know you'll be on top of them all, Phil, you know, on your social media. And, you know, yeah, looking forward to it, really. I mean, the British Open itself, when it comes in late September into October, will be terrific. And obviously some matches are held over. And we know they're not very long matches, but it's got that cachet as well. The British Open, it's got that name. I mean, it's a pretty good name anyway, but the fact it's got that history, going back to the old days when it was first on ITV in the 80s, there's something about it. And actually, yeah, I think you said a couple of times ago, we've had two since it came back, and I couldn't believe that, really. There's so much has happened in the tournament, it seems like. I thought we had about four, you know. It's like, you know, but I think the first one was so, the first one had that Rianne and Mark Allen situation, didn't it?
Yeah.
Which took over massively early on. The fact it was, the match was so short, the fact it was on in summer on ITV was really unusual, and had a really brilliant winner in Mark Williams. That seemed like two tournaments, you know what I mean? Yeah. So much seemed to happen. And of course, last year was brilliant as well. I keep thinking I was there, but I was actually at the doubles. But so maybe I was at the same venue just before, but a lot of people I remember combined the two, and that was great. There's 147, wasn't it? And Selby got, there was a brilliant final, such a good story with Ryan Day winning. It's a really good tournament so far. So yeah, good set of qualifiers, and you know, it feels like that's the starter, and a nice tasty starter, Phil, before we head into the sort of main course, which is the week after, which is the European Masters. So perhaps we'll move on to that now. Well, it's a tournament, if you actually trace the lineage back, that's got quite a long history back to the European Open days. But since 2016, we've known it as the European Masters, and it's been very nomadic, which I think gives it an element of charm, actually, staged in various cities across Europe. This time it's in Nuremberg, Phil, the second largest city in Bavaria, around 100 miles from Munich. Someone's been on Wiki. I'm a Rattler man, Phil. I think you know that. So have a look at train times. The quickest I could see was 1 hour, 2 minutes between the cities. So I was thinking, people wanted to go there, maybe quite a nice way to do it, fly to Munich, especially if you're going from the UK, going from there to Europe. But I know some fans will do that. Maybe not many, but plenty will. But of course, for our European fans, especially those in Germany, but from the neighbouring countries as well, this is a great chance to see a tournament. It's being staged at the Halle am Tilly Park, or for sponsorship reasons, its more common name, the Kia Metropole Arena. It's actually only a couple of years old, actually. It looks really nice, the arena. I've seen pictures of it. And it's normally best known sporting-wise for hosting games for the Nuremberg Falcons basketball team. But it's all about snooker there next week. So we look forward to the tournament very much. I've had a look at the roll call again to remind me. It's sort of a kind of tale of two different situations, really, where very likely winners, Judd in 16 and 17. Then Jimmy Robertson, so a real sort of turn up there in many ways. Neil Robertson and Mark Selby, two of the game's superstars. Then Fang Zhengji, one of the great upsets, really. It was Jordan Brown and then Fan the year after, wasn't it? Absolutely, in terms of winning tournaments. Mm. And just such a surprise. And then Kyra and Wilson last year. I think we both said this, that I think partly maybe for me because I was in Iceland during the final, but also it wasn't that great a final. I kept sort of forgetting that Kyron won this. And I think because August is a funny time of year. And I think we were saying, you know, Kyron got into a lot of those big ITV tournaments and was generally really high on the sort of 1 year list. And we're thinking, well, kind of why is that? I mean, I know he's pretty consistent, but of course he did win this. It was a really big win for him early in the season. And I think he was with us not so long ago before that, was he? And talking about how he'd, you know, thrown the shackles off a bit and had a bit of a new attitude about the game. And well, it didn't really pay off after that win, you know, but he certainly did soon after with a fine victory. So yeah, we're all sort of interesting sort of roll call of winners, but they'd all want to get their hands on this one, they feel, all the big hitters, you know, because to get your season off to a start in a knockout sense will just give you so much confidence going into the autumn.
Yeah, absolutely. It's 80 grand for the winner. And all the players now, well, all the big players, is their aim at the start just to get into the Grand Prix and then the following two, I think. So like you said, stick 80 grand on your tally at the start of the season, you're in near enough everything. So it's very, very handy if you can do that early on. And that's exactly what Kyra did. And yeah, last year, I can't remember the exact bet. So this season, it'll roll on. There's plenty going on afterwards. But I feel like it was a bit earlier, or there was definitely a gap after it. So it sort of happened and then it all went quiet again and it came back. So it felt very just set away on its own. So hopefully it won't be like that this year. But yeah, no, it's a big event, 80 grand, sort of similar to the Home Nations, isn't it? Very, very much worth winning. And a tough field, though. I mean, we haven't mentioned the games that will be held over to there. But all the sort of the top eight have been have not played yet. And there's some big names that you don't always see travelling to Germany. Most notably, Mr. Ronnie O'Sullivan, who doesn't always attend the European tournaments, does he? But he's due to play Andy Hicks there. So, that always adds a bit more spice when he's involved, doesn't it?
Oh, man, it certainly does. Yeah, I remember now, because of the Iceland trip, it was almost exactly the same time, but you're right, there was a big gap. That was part of it. It was like about 6-7 weeks off. In fact, I think there was nothing serious between this and the doubles, actually. I know various people went to play pool, didn't they? And it was all even more bitty than it is now. But you're right, this year feels different because as we go into September, starting with Shanghai, it's events thick and fast. So this won't stand out in that sense this year. But yeah, you're right. Loads of big names, the holdover matches, and just generally some excellent encounters to look forward to as the tournament begins. And we look at first next Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. UK time, 11 in Central Europe and in Germany. And Kyron Wilson up against Dean Young for one of the held-over matches. Kyron, as we say, the champion. He's beaten Dean Young in their two previous meetings, both, interestingly, in those kind of short-term tournaments that fill gaps, the WST Pro Series in 2021 and the Classic earlier this year. And then, right, I'm building up to it, Phil. I'm building up to the name. I don't mean Mark Selby. I'm talking about Mark Selby's opponent. Let me try and get it as well as I can. Okay. I haven't really practiced enough. I've done it about twice. Probably should have done it about half a dozen times. It's Mark Selby against Manasawin Fetmalulkul. I didn't get that right. I want to do it better than that. I'm going to do it a bit more justice. It's Manasawin Fetmalulkul. That's more what it is, I think.
Sounds good to me.
And he's the Thai player who came through the Asia Oceania Q School to win a place on tour. Now, Phil, do you know his nickname?
You're the sort of man that might.
Yeah, yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good. And it's much easier to say as well, thankfully.
We can't really say Mark Selby against Quid, though. It just feels a bit sort of not insulting, but a bit, yeah, not perhaps not as elegant as it could be. Well, yeah, he explains that. About the nickname, my father thought that because it is a slang for a pound, it might be lucky and bring some fortune. And you know what, Phil? I was thinking, if I went down the same route, my nickname would have to be shilling. That is the currency that I deal with a lot more. But we look forward to that. Selby, obviously, a big favourite there. As for the round two matches next Tuesday morning, well, CJY here against Ken Doherty. Another age gap one, Phil, just the 32 years there. All eyes on C this season, of course, after his thrilling run to the World Semi-Finals in the spring. Dominic Dale, Dwayne Jones, all Welsh match there. They played in World Championship qualifying last year, actually, Dale winning 6-3. Andrew Higginson's got Zhao Yu Long, and I noticed their last match was in the English Open in the autumn of 2020, but Zhao winning on that occasion 4-0. And then John Higgins, of course, who memorably joined us on this podcast a month ago, up against Dylan Emery, and they played at the Turkish Masters last year, actually, Higgins winning 5-2. We've also got Lou Howshan against Elliot Slesser that will be well worth a watch. So a cracking selection there, Phil. I mean, hard to pick out a highlight. There's frankly, so many matches there that you really want to keep an eye on.
100%, yeah. There's a nice mix of this top eight being over there, but held over to play there, but they had a lot of big names coming through qualifying as well. Notably, John Higgins was one. Mark Williams was another. It feels like the first real proper no-miss tournament, isn't it? You know, there's no bad games there, are there?
There really aren't. I'm meeting the Opal Fruits here in between while you're talking, which reminds me of that quite bad moment for me. Was it the one just gone or the one before? I popped out for some Opal Fruits at the Crucible in a really tense moment. I thought I had to break the tension for myself with nobody else. And I think you said you don't remember Mater making your mouth water, which is quite heartbreaking.
I do remember them being Opal Fruits. I remember them turning to Starburst.
Yeah.
But I probably will have heard it, but it doesn't ring the loudest bell in my head.
Okay, fair enough. Let's move on from Opal Fruits to the snooker again. And next Tuesday afternoon, Phil, the held-over matches. Judd Trump's got Mohamed Ibrahim and Mark Allen's got Anton Kazakov. And then a match that I just think is, you know, so appealing. Luca Purcell against Jackson Paige. What a cracking watch that could be. Paige actually beat Purcell. I don't remember it, actually, at this tournament in 2020. Always fascinating to see how a first-time world champion fares in the season after. And which, I think it was Brendan Cooper that joined us and said that it reminded us recently, of course, the author of that smashing new book on the game, he was saying it's so often a struggle, and it really is. I mean, the history of the game is and this sport is littered with first-time champions that really, really do very little in the season after. I see Luca doing a bit better than that. I think that he's got a character that I can see him doing okay, but it will be interesting for sure. And then in round two, we got Joe Perry, Ross Muir in the afternoon session. Well, Muir will not have happy memories of their only previous meeting. Perry winning 10-1 in World Championship qualifying in 2018. Chris Wakelin, the aforementioned, who was on this podcast last week, up against Aaron Hill. And Wakelin had a win over Hilling, well, qualifying this year, actually, in a thumping one. We've got Ben Willison against Zusi and Tom Ford against Oliver Brown. So, yeah, you know, Luca is obviously going to get so much attraction in these opening months of the season, Phil. It'll be great to see him because, you know, he's a world champion. That's such a status, isn't it, for anybody in this sport. And, who knows how he'll do. I think he'll do okay. How do you feel?
Yeah, well, I've been following his world tour over the summer, which hasn't seemed to involve much snooker, but yeah, fair play. He looks like he's having the best time ever. He was in Canada when I saw last looked. I think that was earlier today. And he's just having the best time. Yeah, him and his girlfriend traveling the world. And I think spending an awful lot of that prize money he picked up in Sheffield, but why not? Enjoy it. He's still got a few days before that game against Jackson in Germany, so we'll hopefully have got a little bit of practice in. But you know, if the World Championship proved anything, he doesn't need practice. So it'll be a real test of his natural ability and you know, the immense confidence he will have picked up at the Crucible by winning the World Championship. But I don't think he's going to be at his absolute sharpest. Let's say that after his extended holiday. But you know, no one should judge him for that. He's having the time of his life. And yeah, there's some nice ones there you mentioned, isn't there? Yeah, Zusi's a really good young player. I'm sure that's the one that's the player that Mark Williams picked out as saying if he wanted to sort of mentor a young player that he doesn't normally work, that he hasn't worked with already. Obviously, he works with Jackson Paige, Liam Davis, but he picked out a young Chinese player. It was Zusi he really liked the look of talent wise. So yeah, he's one that might just burst through in the coming weeks and months, because he's got a bit about him, let's say.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Most certainly. And I was just thinking, we'd do the same if we won the World Championship wouldn't we? We're not going to win the World Championship, I think. It's unlikely now.
Likely, yeah.
If we did, I would definitely do a Luka. No question about it. And I'd probably come back in about August, September. I think I'd go on just, 3 months, doing what I want, travelling around. And, you say good luck to him. But do you know what? Just to get serious for a moment, I do remember was it Stuart Bingham that said that he wished he'd listened to Parrott more? Certainly true. Maybe a couple of others have actually said in the past they wish they had taken some more time off. Obviously, there's a balance with everything, but they feel that they stuck around too much and got involved with too much of the other stuff maybe associated with being champion, and maybe they needed some time to clear their head and go away. So it must be an interesting decision, when he won something and done something that big. I mean, I know we're all having a good old laugh at what Luka's doing, but who's to say he's actually not doing the right thing? Mm. Just completely having that total break, having a great time, and, he'll get back into it with kind of that perspective of thinking, I've done something so big, and then had a great party. It might end up being good for him. It's difficult to know, but I know I've had that conversation with players that have won it before, and they'll say they haven't quite got those weeks and months after right, which must be so hard because, frankly, you can't teach it. That the first-time winners are literally going into it blind, aren't they?
Yeah, and it's each to their own as well. So you can talk to previous first-time winners and stuff, but it's how your personality works. And, I've not spoken to him about it, but just by judging on social media, which, isn't always the best gauge because you just get given the best-looking photos and stuff, so everything looks great, but it does look like he's having a sensational time. And you should, it should be, there's the reward of getting the trophy, being the world champion, the money, but you should enjoy it as much as possible as well, because that's what makes you hungry to win it again. And I suppose if people do hang around and do loads of press and like get on the TV and stuff loads as much as they can, and it's like that's all very nice, but that's work, that is all. And that could actually drain you eventually. You might not end up enjoying it, and that might eventually take the edge off. Whereas there's no question that Luke is definitely making the most of it enjoyment-wise. So, as I say, he's not going to come back and be the sharpest ever, but he said he didn't practice the World Championship. So he's a law unto himself. I wouldn't like to predict anything he'll do, but I will definitely be watching when he plays Jackson Page on that Tuesday in Nuremberg, because even last season, when we would not have been expecting to be talking about Luka Brecel as a world champion, Brecel against Page would be a nice-looking match anyway, and certainly is now.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. A real cracker to look forward to. Next Tuesday is a brilliant day, full stop, actually. Into the evening, then. Held over match. Sean Murphy against Graham Dott. I think you were mentioning one of our recent episodes that Sean's like, bloody hell, I don't want to get Graham Dott first. That's not right. Come on, then. Have you looked it up?
No, I haven't looked this up now. First meeting. Well, I think, he's in that bunch of Turning Pro 99 as well. So I'll go 2001.
2005. So it was it's surprising they didn't play earlier than that, actually. Mm. It is quite surprising. And we look forward to that one. Yeah, obviously two former world champions and players that need no introduction. Well, I think Roddy O'Sullivan and Andy Hicks are one of those I got wrong last time, and know for a fact that is actually now the first meeting of the 1992 UK Championship. So John Major had just lost a general election against Neil Kinnock's Labour Party when those two first met. I mean, heavens above, Phil. We're not talking 5-10 minutes ago here. There's a lower history between those two. And Andy Hicks has had a bit of a sort of renaissance lately, hasn't he? Been playing some nice stuff, actually. So we look forward to seeing how he gets on. Bonnie, obviously, a big favourite. And then Neil Robertson, Wu Yisa. Now, that's a repeat of a World Championship match, isn't it, from a few months ago, when I think we watched it in the little garden area outside with our friend Gary Moss. It was that match, wasn't it? The end of that, I think we saw.
Yeah, that's when he knocked in, didn't he, in back-to-back 1-4-6s? Or was it 2-in-3 frames or something? It was when he made some mad breaks, didn't he, Neil?
He did. It was 2-in-3, which annoyingly, I don't think anyone made that enough of. Everyone was just saying he got two in the match. I was like, well, surely 2-in-3 is the line. But I sort of half gave up, and everyone just sort of seemed to just think the match was okay. But I thought it was batty that he did 2-in-3 frames. And it strikes me, that Neil, long way to go, lot of tournaments left, hasn't had his tournament win yet this year. So that long run, I can't think on the top of my head, is about 06, something like that. 06, 07. It's a hell of a long time. He hasn't quite got that on the board yet and didn't have, by his standards, a very top season last time. Had a lot of bad luck, actually. Various illnesses, things that didn't really work in his favour. You know, he could easily go and win this. He's that good. But say he hasn't got his 2023 one on the board yet. As for round two in the evening session, Jose Mafia against Alan Taylor. Ricky Walden, Jamie Jones. Cracking match that could be, actually. Jack Lasowski, Michael White. Nice one to look forward to as well. Lasowski's had the better of their meetings, actually, including a 4-0 win at last year's Welsh Open. And Joe O'Connor against Ashley Carty. So again, good old selection there. And we look forward to, you know, all those matches. But yeah, Wu Yiza didn't actually play very badly, did he, in that match in Sheffield? He played all right. He might have won some of the matches, but Neil just did that classic thing. We thought, God, he's... Well, actually, no, in fairness, I think we did identify the nuance. Certainly some of our listeners did, by saying he probably peaked too early. And I remember saying at the time, with some players, top players, that was seen quite rude. With Neil, might be on the money. And again, it did prove that way.
Yeah, and I think Wu plays a very sort of open attacking game, which suits Neil hands down. It suits most players, really, but Neil's the kind of player who will jump all over that. And then he ends up losing to Jack Jones, who doesn't necessarily play such a open attacking game. But yeah, considering Neil won that game 10-3, but Wu didn't come away sort of with anything but credit, really. He looked good. Neil was just looking extremely good. And yeah, over a shorter format, Wu's dangerous against anyone. He's certainly one of the rising stars of the game. And he qualified. That was his debut at the Crucible, beating Chris Wakelin. So, yeah, and we know, you know, how confident and Chris was feeling at the time, playing very well. So, yeah, Wu's a danger. But as you say, Neil, from the shortest format to the longest format, no one's surprised if he walks away with a trophy. And yeah, it seems it is 2006. It goes back to, so it would be a horrible bit of an end of history if it went. I mean, it's going to come to an end at some point, but I don't think it's just yet. Does it? His run of trophies in a year doesn't feel like it's ready to end just yet.
Well, it doesn't feel like it at all. It looks like it could be another half decade at least. He's that good. But yeah, he was a bit disappointing last year. It was funny, was it? Was it the start? Maybe the whole season, but certainly the start of it, where that first half, where he kept looking like the best player in the tournament until about the quarterfinals. Oh, Neil's going to win this. I mean, no one's playing as well as him. And then he'd chuck in a sort of funny, erratic kind of performance and not be anywhere like his best in like, I think, a couple of semis, maybe even three semis, something like that. It was kind of weird. But listen, we hold these guys to such incredible standards. We expect them to be machines and winning tournaments left, right and centre. You can't always do that. But yeah, interesting matches there. And then on to the play the following day, next Wednesday, some round two matches there. David Gilbert against Rhiann Evans. Had a look there. They last played at Q School 12 years ago, Phil.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. Stuart Bingham's got Zhao Guodong, which the only thing I've written down there is I don't think either will be particularly happy with that. That's a bit of a stinker. Yeah. That's a stinker both ways, really. Nopon Sankam's got Mark Davis. It's Zach Surtee against Jiang Jun. We mentioned Surtee, didn't we? He had that fine 5-3 win over Ryan Day in qualifying. It's Robbie Williams, Pan Jung Su. Ben Mertens has got Sanderson Lam, who you mentioned in that nice interview on WST. It's Ali Carter against Ashley Hugill. Two friends of this podcast, Phil, and I think both mentioned in this episode already, Anthony Hamilton against Louis Heathcote. And then Mark Williams, Matthew Stevens, 23 years on from their famous world final of the year 2000. What a final that was. And then we've got Barry Hawkins, James Cahill. I mean, roll up, Phil. I mean, we don't need to sell this, do we? It's just riches every day. And then, of course, we're getting into the either wars by then. So we're into getting even more advanced in the tournaments. There'll be some other really good round two matches. I think even round three matches starting that day. So it's just going to be mouth-watering stuff. We'll be glued to the screen.
Yeah, that's my birthday, Wednesday, the 23rd of August. I'll be celebrating my birthday. So there's some nice treats in there. Yeah, Williams and Stevens jumps off the page, doesn't it? And I did look at when they first played. I don't know if you did.
I didn't, but I tell you what, I'm determined it can't be that far behind. 97.
Oh, is Ben right?
Yes! I have just given probably the loudest shout and the widest arms since I did the Blue Ball Challenge at the Mastersville, which you may remember I did the first time.
I do remember, yeah. Yeah, they played twice in 97, and Stevens won them both at the Grand Prix and the UK Championship. Oh. So, yeah, they go a long way back, those two. And, I mean, Mark's a heavy favourite these days, isn't he, for that contest? But it'll be an attractive one, for sure. And, yeah, that Heathcote-Hamilton match is a nice-looking one as well. So, yeah, and then we're getting into the business end from there on in. But, not sure how much snooker I'll be watching on my birthday. I think I've got a surprise planned from my better half. So I doubt she'll have surprised me with, you can sit on the sofa watching the European Masters for all day. But we'll see. Maybe she has.
I had visions of you having a cake, maybe one of those little sort of cupcakes with a candle on and settling down for Bobby Williams' Pan Jung Soo. I can see it, you know.
I mean, I'd be delighted with it, to be fair. She really would know me well if that was my present.
Many happy returns, sir. Now, now we're getting some history. I think I tied in that picture, or no, not picture, that video of Hecla on your birthday, because I was saying I was too tight to get you a present.
Yes. brilliant stuff, yeah. So
this tournament was that same time, because this was around that time that we went. It's all starting to make a bit of sense, Phil. we're going in strange circles all the time with this podcast. But yeah, I tell you what, just to say again, brilliant tournament. You know, it really is. This is you know, mouth-watering stuff. It, you know, all the stars, all the time, on the telly. This is what, you know, we're snooker fans for. And I know I've seen a sort of three or four people in recent days saying, just can't wait. You know, we've had a bit of the phony war, the Championship League, qualifying, but we've got some more qualifiers coming up, I know. They'll, you know, be good as maybe a starter, but you cannot beat these proper tournaments. And we all have to say, best of luck to all those in Nuremberg staging the tournament and get a programme, because there's a picture of us two in it as well. So,
yeah.
Don't let that put you off your cornflakes.
Yeah, we don't know about what Nuremberg's going to be like as a venue and the crowd. Obviously, we know Berlin's amazing. So hopefully Nuremberg will turn up for it as well, because, there's some great stuff to look forward to there. Relishing it, really, because it just feels, you know, the season started at the start of the Champions League, technically, doesn't it? But it's a slow and steady build-up, and this is the real start, I guess, when that gets going. So, we can't wait, absolutely.
Very much so, and we look forward to the tournament. As I say, all the best to everybody involved, especially with the organising. We're sure it's going to be a smashing week. We really enjoy tuning in. You are listening here to Talking Snooker with Phil Haig and Nick Metcalf.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And Phil, we are recording a little bit early. So what we're going to do is reflect in detail on the US Women's Open in Seattle next time. But it is underway as we record. And I certainly watched bits and pieces of it on the stream from there. That club's looking as terrific as ever. And so far, I think it's fair to say the biggest names are proving why they are the biggest names.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I've watched a bit on the YouTube from Ox Billiards in Seattle. Our friend David Burney on commentary doing an excellent job, as ever. Always looking sharp as well. Occasionally cut to the commentary box and he's in the full three-piece suit. It looks excellent. The group we're recording as the group stage is just coming to an end. And I suppose the four names you expect are about to get through as the top. At the top of their groups, which is Mink, Onyi, Rebecca Kenner, and Jamie Hunter. We'll talk about this more when we next speak. But if it's not one of those four that's lifted the trophy, I'll be quite surprised.
Yeah, this is more like Wurzel Gummidge here, isn't it, compared to the elegance of the sights there over in Seattle. We enjoyed meeting our friend, didn't we, in Sheffield? We'll have to get him on here one day. He's great value. And this tournament, you can just see go from strength to strength. It just looks the part there, doesn't it? And I've been really impressed by the stream, actually. Every time I've tuned in, it's looked lovely. It's nice to hear those voices. And as ever with the game, it's just good company.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they tell interesting stories. You hear from people you wouldn't normally hear from. David gets people to come and chat with him in the commentary booth. And there's been some good stuff. Arne, you made a 1-2-1 clearance the other day, which is very nice. It looks great. And it's just, you know, it's a long way. So it doesn't get massive participation. But as I said, those four players that are expected to be challenging for the trophy are very good. So, it's as you say, nice, definitely nice company on the old YouTube sort of stream there.
Yeah, it just makes all the difference being able to see. I know it sounds obvious, but, you know, it's all right following scoring and reading reports, but being able to see the action is absolutely priceless. And we're really enjoying doing so. As I say, we'll reflect on the climax in full when we're with you next time. Phil, we talk about tournaments coming thick and fast. Of course, the return proper to China is just around the corner in Shanghai. We've had another tournament draw, haven't we?
Yeah, and big names, obviously. It's 24 man, so there's four wild cards yet to be announced. So let me get it's the top 16 plus the next four highest ranked Chinese players and four wild cards, which are going to be announced on the 19th of August after a CBSA under 21 event. So it's a few either ors, but the matches we know. Straight away in the first round, Jack Lasowski against Zhou Yulong, the winner to play Judd Trump. Gary Wilson against Fang Zhengyi, the winner to play Mark Allen. Ding Junhui against Xi Zhihui, the winner to play Neil Robertson.
Oh,
not bad, that is it. Not bad at all.
Hell.
And Mark Williams against Pang Junzhu, the winner to play Luke Purcell. This is high-level stuff, goes without saying. Ron Neal play the winner of Ali Carter against one of the wild cards. Selby's playing the winner of Hussein Vafai against one of the wild cards. Lots of good stuff to look forward to there. Huge money event, 210 grand the winner, 105 grand for the runner-up. Big stuff. And everyone involved will be delighted that tournament is back on the calendar.
Yeah, I'm not one of the world's great early morning operators, but if that's an early one, I'll be up for Ding Junhui, Xi Zhihui. Oh, heavens above, that is a meeting of it's one of those, I'm about to say, very different eras, but of course they're not. It's just, you know, it just seems like Ding, we've said this before, is so much older than he is because he's been around, but meeting of players that have made their mark in different snooker eras, let's just say that. And that, as I say, we really look forward to that and some cracking matches to come. And it sounds silly, but it's been a while since we've had that experience here in the UK and in Europe of watching events over there. So it's something very different, isn't there, about snooker over breakfast, snooker in the morning, and the sort of evening session being lunchtime. It might seem like not that different, but it kind of is. And I love those rhythms. I've really missed that over the last few years. I can't wait to get into that sort of, you know, when I'm off to work in the afternoon and just following the matches at kind of different times. It's a nice sort of different rhythm, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I think the most recent one that stands out to me was the Six Reds in Thailand not too long ago, which, that's a different sort of format and it was a very unusual compared to a lot of times. But that was the first time for a while that I felt that, you know, I was, watching it with my Weetabix. And I agree, it's nice to throw things in a bit differently because we are very spoiled here. Like, we get a lot of international listeners and believe me, we do know that we're very spoiled in the UK with when we get to watch snooker. So it's nice for people in other countries to get it at different times, but it's nice for us as well just to mix things up as well. So yeah, I agree, that's something to look forward to. And we haven't seen much of Ronnie for some time, have we? But if there's one tournament he'll be confident in, it's the Shanghai Masters, because he's won the last three versions of it. That's the kind of event he does well, isn't it? Turn up, very well looked after, nice place, yeah, big totally. Money. It's right up his street.
Yeah, totally. It was no surprise when he won that big event in Hong Kong, was it, really?
No,
That's pure Ronnie, that, and that's one of the champion of champions and things like that. Yeah, you're right. Those big. It's why he's won the Masters so many times. Funny enough, he's made noises about not liking the Masters, doesn't he? And he finds it all a bit much there. But he's never surprised me he does well. Those sort of, as you say, big high stakes, all the attention on the stars type events. He tends to sort of just shine at those. Maybe we should move on to any other business, Phil. Just to say, we're going to save up our correspondence now for our next Your Views episode in September. So do keep it coming, talkingsnooker@yahoo.com or tweet us at talkingsnooker. I think it's when we preview Shanghai, the week after, when Shanghai is getting underway. I think that could be a good slot, actually, for the next Your Views. But there is one exception, Phil. We've had an email here from Thomas Bartley that we would like to read out. Thank you, Thomas, for contacting us. Hello, Nick and Phil. I hope you are both well. Thank you for keeping us well sated with great content over these more empty summer months. I hope you'll forgive me for using the podcast for a bit of self-promotion, but on Friday, 15th of September, I am delivering an online talk about the birth of the World Snooker Championship. The talk is part of Birmingham Heritage Week and looks specifically at the city's role in helping to launch the event. It is free to attend, and takes place at 12 p.m. midday. I've enclosed a link here, although if listeners search for Birmingham and the birth of the World Snooker Championship, they will be able to find it. I also hope to record the talk for anyone unable to attend at the time. It would be great to have some snooker fans at the talk, as well as those interested in Birmingham's history. Thanks, Thomas. So we really wish you well for that. That's Thomas Bartley there, and I'm sure the talk will be fascinating. And, you know, it reminded me a little bit of David Hendon, actually, who did that very poignant episode, I think, of Snooker Scene. I think it was last year, wasn't it, when he went around Birmingham. And there's a lot of history in that city, you know, in terms of not just the first World Championships, but the one Alex Higgins won in 72. And there's just loads, actually. So it's particularly special, I think, that it's part of that city that this talk is taking place in. And we wish you so well with it. And I think I know you mentioned off air you might be otherwise sporting engaged that day. I'm not sure what I'm doing, actually, but if you do record it, then either way, we'll be able to catch up afterwards. And I know many snooker fans will be interested in this, because I've heard many learned judges say in this sport, many great pundits, we've got to protect our history. It isn't always the strongest in this sport. What we do have, we must sort of guard.
Yeah, and as you say, that sounds fascinating. Yeah. I think I'm at Lord's that day, watching England in a one day or so. One of my pals is a member at the MCC. So I've got to cash in when that offer comes up. Doesn't come up very often to go and sit in the members section at Lord's, so I've got to take it. But yeah, I'll be watching it on record if that is available, though, because, as you say, it sounds very interesting.
England against who?
New Zealand, I believe.
Okay, about to say. You're not that type. I was about to say, don't do what those bloody Menmuth did against Australia in that test match and start hollering.
Oh, no.
That was awful. I know you're not that type. Of course you're not. But yeah, we wish you luck with that. And yeah, we did put the link actually on our Twitter feed a few days ago. But if you do look up, as Thomas says, Birmingham and the birth of the World Snooker Championship into a search engine, it will take you to more details. Now, Phil, if I said to you I could turn back time, what would your reaction be?
Well, I've seen it done, and I've been very impressed with your skills of turning back time recently, actually.
It's obviously not possible. I can't do that. But just in a sort of, in a small way, we have been turning back time on our Twitter feed, haven't we? With some cracking nostalgia photos, which seem to be going down well. Recent one of the 1982 World Championship that comes to mind, and one of Steve Davis spraying the champagne, the Len Ganley, trying to avoid it after he won the world title in 87. We're going to carry on doing that, maybe not too much. We don't want to detract from the excellent sites that do it already, but maybe we'll do it more sparingly going into the autumn. But we do like that nostalgia element. I think Clive Everton said that nostalgia is best enjoyed in small doses, and that's probably about right, Phil. Got to keep it into its proper perspective and levels. But yeah, I personally, I've never hidden the fact that I love snooker nostalgia. Some wonderful photos, and quite a nerdy one that I and we put up of Joe Johnson in 87, the year that I think it was a sponsorship reason that that the backdrop of the Crucible went blue. Very unusual. Still looks so weird to see it because we just weren't used to it. But those pictures from the 80s, you know, and 90s and back in the past are priceless. So we'll carry on doing that. And Jimmy White in a car recently, which always goes down well.
Yeah, well, they are fascinating because it's not just the sport. You see the fashions, that, you know, the hairstyles. Look at the crowd. I always find interesting how smartly dressed the crowds are in the past. And, yeah, those globes are so iconic that were in the set at the Crucible. I'd love to know if those globes are still somewhere. Are they in a lockup somewhere? Because there'd be quite a lot of Stuka fans who wouldn't mind having them if they could find somewhere for it in the house. I'm not sure where it would go, but what a piece of memorabilia that would be.
I'm old enough to remember. I think Terry Griffiths not won over during the final. I'm pretty sure the one he played against Steve, he lost heavily. I seem to recall that in the back in the mist of time. Well, we should say our special John Higgins episode of a month ago, Phil, has now reached another landmark, 6,000 downloads. Brilliant news. Thank you so much for continuing to tune in. Also now approaching 11,000 listeners on Apple devices. We've never known numbers like it, so we really do very much appreciate it. And Phil, we are top of the pops again. Costa Rica last time, this time Moldova. Now, I think there's something about it, isn't there? There's something about this podcast. It, Costa Rica and Moldova sort of sounds about right. It fits. It fits somehow.
Yeah, I've never been to either, but I would love to visit both. So that sounds like a good excuse to me to get on a plane to either east or west. And I'm easy either way. Probably Costa Rica springs to mind as a more obvious holiday destination, but I'm happy to go to Moldova as well.
I can confirm it's more of a holiday destination, but we are, potentially big news now in Chisinau. So, you know, if we ever find ourselves, what I'm saying is, if we are in Chisinau, we won't need to buy a drink because the locals will be, you know, only too happy to do so. We are really pleased, though. I mean, in a serious note, to be number one in anything is outrageous, really. You know, there's so many strong sporting podcasts, whichever country you go to and listen, you know. So we really are grateful. And I say, the John Higgins one, the company we were keeping, like in the UK charts, the Ireland charts, was outrageous. Like Gary Neville, Steve Bunce, shows in The Athletic, the James Richardson show on there. So, you know, we really are grateful. And, you know, thank you so much for your continuing support. And Phil, I should say that I'm actually not here next week. So we're going to be back, aren't we, in 2 weeks' time. On the August bank holiday here in the UK, I know it might not be bank holiday where you are, but it's the last Monday of the month, Monday the 28th of August, and that will end our summer season. And of course, the main focus then, Phil, will be to reflect on what we know will be a smashing week of action at the European Masters. Maybe we should finish by talking again about what's coming up, the qualifiers first for the British Open, and then that big tournament in Nuremberg. They're going to be absolutely cracking. We really do hope everyone enjoys them. And I know you'll be doing loads of great reporting doing it, as always. And the only thing I won't do is ask you to predict a winner, because Nostradamus would struggle to predict a tournament winner these days. Snooker's so strong.
Yeah, and as you said, the European Masters is a especially tricky one. These early season ones, don't know where to go with it, really. So we'll see. I'm actually on holiday during the week of the European Masters, so don't expect too much reporting from me there, but I'll certainly be following it and tweeting about it, so keep an eye on that as ever. Any other business from me? A couple of shout outs. Michael Holt on the Stephen Hendry YouTube channel this week, thought was excellent, very interesting stuff, talking about his coaching. And sometimes they play sort of just about get through one frame in that, but Michael Holt was break building beautifully as he was talking about his coaching stuff, knocking in some great breaks. That was great. And also, aforementioned Dave Hendon's chat with Ray Reardon, I thought was brilliant. Ray's just a great voice to hear from, 90 years old and looking and sounding great. And I don't think we've actually mentioned it yet. On the British Podcast Awards, the listeners vote, I think it's called, listeners' choice vote. You can vote for any podcast you want on there, and we're very much available to vote for. So, I mean, there's no chance of us winning because we are really, there's like some real behemoths in there. But if you want to vote for us, that'd be nice. I think that's about it from me.
Well, you're being a bit coy. Of course, you should be congratulated because we know that Snookered is up for a bloody award, isn't it? I can't believe it. I mean,
Yeah, I mean, that is quite mad, really. But yeah, that was shortlisted for an award. But you can vote for Talking Snook on the Listener's Choice Award.
This is still your favourite podcast, isn't it, Phil?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think Snook had got a bit. It is a bit lucky that it got that, because being like a limited series, you know, we had some great interviews on that, but it's only 10 episodes. Like, if you had to do that over a year, you couldn't keep that up. So I think it was a bit jammy that got in there, but also lovely to be associated with. It was a lot of fun and great to see a snooker podcast on there. It's only 6 podcasts on there and sports awards. So lovely to see any snooker podcast on there. So that's pretty cool.
You know what? The words that will never be associated with this podcast is limited series. I mean, yeah. Limited anything is never going to be. This is quite, by our standards, quite short. We've done about an hour, Phil. That's almost like a bite-sized throwaway kind of episode. But I feel a bit guilty. I've been telling you so much about my holiday plans. I'm off away. I do hesitate a bit to say I'm going now, because I've got dreadful visions of one of our fans sort of writing, "Oh, you need to go to this snooker tournament," and because I'm a bit of a completist, I'll be tearing round. And I've got, well, the FOMO as well. I had FOMO before it was fashionable, Phil. So if I hear about something that's going on, I'll have to be there. I'm going to the Faroe Islands, but I don't know where you're going. So maybe, or do you want to keep it secret? Where are you going?
I'm not going anywhere. I've just got some time off.
Oh, bloody
I've just got some holiday to use up. So I'm getting away for my birthday somewhere. That's a surprise. I've got some friends visiting for a couple of days. Then I'm going to London for a couple of days. So, yeah, nothing wild, but just got some time off work.
I don't feel so bad now. I thought there was some big holiday you were doing that I didn't know about. All's well and good. We should go, shouldn't we? And thank you ever so much for your company. And, Phil, you've been a delight to be with. Enjoy the snooker. Enjoy your birthday. We'll be back at the end of the month to review the European Masters. And, as I say, it's going to be a smashing event to look forward to in Germany. We're from the UK, but we're not going to say we're tired of UK tournaments. They're great, but we're happy that events are being played elsewhere, aren't we?
Yeah, definitely. It's just nice to see different backdrops, hear different. The crowds are different wherever you go, isn't it? It's just nice to hear the different nuances. And obviously, if you're there, anyone listening who's going there, I think we know some people who might be going, so let us know, good, bad, indifferent, all the feedback you can get us to from Nuremberg. It'd be great to hear. And thanks for listening, as always.
Totally right. You're our eyes and ears out there. So if you're going to the tournament, do let us know. TalkingSnooker@yahoo.com or tweet us at TalkingSnooker. Lots of other great sport, of course, Phil. I just went to the Challenge Cup final. I was telling you about that before we came on air. What a brilliant match that was. With dramatically winning their first Challenge Cup for more than half a century. Women's World Cup continues. England still going strong, Phil. Mm. Australia v England. Is that a sporting rivalry? I think it might be. They're on Wednesday in Sydney. What a match that promises to be. That will certainly cause a stir here in the UK, and no doubt in Australia too. Lots of cycling. The people have been enjoying the World Championships in Glasgow. So loads of great sport, but we're pleased to say that the great sport now includes our beloved snooker, because we'll be back again in big tournament form in terms of the European Masters. For now, though, Phil, I do say, I salute you and say farewell, sir.
Yeah, pleasure as always. And actually, I'm going to, if you can call it sport, by the time we next convene, I'll have just been to Wembley to watch the wrestling at AEW All In, the biggest wrestling show ever. Going to be 80,000 people there. So I'll report back with that.
Greetings, Grapple fans. That's one for the teenagers to leave everyone with. Okay, thank you very much indeed. Enjoy the feast of snooker to come over the next couple of weeks, everybody. And thank you as ever for your company here on Talking Snooker. From Phil and myself, cheerio.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.